A diagnosis of breast cancer can cause a life-changing ripple effect of impact, affecting those we love the most and those upon whom we lean for comfort and strength in the most challenging of times. My name is Aisling Hurley and I'm the CEO of Breast Cancer Ireland, and you're listening to More Than a Lump, a podcast that talks openly and honestly to a selection of guests about their very personal connections to breast cancer, be it through their career choice, their own first-hand experience of the disease, or through sharing the experience of close family members. Over the past two seasons, my conversations have centred on how breast cancer has informed perspectives on life, love, family, health, goals and aspirations. As we begin a new season, and indeed a new year, I thought it might be a good idea to reflect on some of the moments over the past 20 episodes that stopped me in my tracks. Moments that reminded us that for so many impacted, breast cancer is more than a lump. This episode of More Than a Lump is proudly supported by CarePlus Pharmacy. CarePlus is Ireland's leading community pharmacy brand, offering expert advice and services for a healthier and happier you. You can find your nearest CarePlus on careplus.ie or follow them on social media for daily health and wellness tips. Sirica Lavelle was just 22 years of age when, following a routine visit to her GP to get a prescription for the pill, she was diagnosed with an aggressive breast cancer that had spread to her lymph nodes. She admits she wasn't breast aware and thought the small lump on her left breast, which is about the size of a pea, was almost not worthy of a mention. Fortunately for Sirica, she did bring it to the doctor's attention, who sent her on for a referral to St James's Hospital. Sirica's story was a salient reminder to make time to check, one of our key messages in Breast Cancer Ireland.
I'm really sorry, I'm diagnosing you with aggressive form of breast cancer. And I laughed and I said, you're joking. And he goes, I'm not. And I remember I just was like, what? I remember looking at my mom and my mom's eyes were full of tears. And I was just like, what? I just couldn't comprehend it. And then he said a few more things, but I don't remember anything. I remember though leaving there and going into the toilet in James's and literally leaning myself against the door and just falling down crying. Because I was like, what is going on? Yesterday I was a normal 22-year-old living in Dublin, working in Dublin, going out with my friends. And now today it's everything is different.
I met Emma Cassidy when she was going through her initial treatment several years ago following her triple negative diagnosis. But even back then, and despite her worry about the future, she was determined to educate and inform other women and became the face of our education and outreach programme with Cornmarket Group Financial Services. How fortunate are the students she teaches, and how lucky baby Sam is to have her as his mum. Emma never even thought a child was on the cards for her. But as she explains in this clip, life has a way of surprising us.
And then, as you said, Sam came along. But, to get to that point, we did have to have some really tough conversations. And quite early on in the relationship, I did have to say to him, I have this gene. This means I'm going to have to get a particular type of surgery. And it's probably going to be sooner rather than later because, as you said, I have higher risk of another cancer. There is a chance that, family and children won't be on the cards for us. And I know, saying that to somebody, that could make somebody run for the hills, that wouldn't interest some people. But he was just, I couldn't have asked for a lovelier response. He just was like, I don't, that doesn't matter to me. I'm in this relationship with you. If we have children, great. If we don't, we can still have a lovely life, just the two of us. We're happy, just the two of us. And I think that's, the point when I knew that, we were going to stay together. And, he was just brought into my life at just the perfect time. And even talking about it makes me feel really emotional because, if I said all this, when I say this to him, he just kind of laughs it off. I don't think he fully realizes that, he really just helps turn my life completely around in terms of just lifted me up when I needed it. And and then thankfully Sam was our little miracle just before Christmas in 2020. And I just never thought that this would be the life that I'd get. Just so grateful every single day for it because I know not everybody gets to have it.
Here at Breast Cancer Ireland, we're a very inclusive charity and absolutely recognise that breast cancer impacts everyone in the family, not just women. Sadly, 1 in 9 women will be diagnosed in their lifetime. And although the incidence for men is much rarer, it can happen. In these next two clips, we hear from partners and the fact that for them, breast cancer is definitely more than a lump. We also hear from a male breast cancer survivor. Jamie Crawford is married to Georgie and Steve to Tanya. Both women were diagnosed with breast cancer, and the boys have travelled with their wives along their paths to recovery.
Thanks for giving us this space to talk from a partner's point of view. I remember, you know, as we were going through it with Georgie, it was probably 3 or 4 months in before anyone actually turned around to me and said, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And when they actually did, that's when I sort of broke down a little bit, because that was my first opportunity to really express myself and tell people how I was feeling, because I had to be strong for Georgie.
And I think that first phase is definitely the most difficult, you know, definitely like for us, once you've got through that phase, which is horrendous, we didn't know how to deal with it. We didn't expect it. We had enough to deal with already. So you sit at home thinking, like, how many more things can happen? Our kids were older, so they're now kind of 9, 12 and 14. So a year ago, just a little bit younger, but still old enough that you have to worry about them, take care of them, get them to school. Mm-hmm. It's a busy house, busy lifestyle. So we sat there just scratching our heads, wondering what to do. And you kind of wonder how it happened. It's something you expect isn't going to happen to you.
Dara McDonough joined us back in season one and told a powerful story from a male breast cancer patient perspective, finding himself in the unfamiliar surroundings of the waiting room of the breast care centre, feeling like something of an outsider amongst the women around him. Now a long-time supporter of the work we do in Breast Cancer Ireland, he's helping us to raise the profile of the disease amongst the male population at large, as many people still don't realise this disease can affect anyone of any age, not just females.
I was very confused about what was happening, how can I have breast cancer? And but when I had the mastectomy, I had to go back every week for about 5 or 6 weeks. Because when you have the mastectomy, there's a pocket left where they take the breast tissue out. And this pocket fills up with fluid. So every Friday, and it fills up with fluid, and you end up with a small boob. So every Friday I had to go back in to get it drained into Morris Stokes' office. And it's then that I was sitting in the waiting room, and I knew why I was there. And I knew, it was then I realised this is, everybody in here is breast cancer, you know. And then I noticed that people wouldn't sit beside me. They wouldn't look at me. A lot of them would sort of turn away from me. Now, I know now why, as in they must have been absolutely terrified for themselves, and then wondering, why doesn't that man wait in the car for his partner? Because I'm sure the vast majority of them, like me, men and breast cancer, it doesn't happen.
It's hard to believe we have recorded 20 episodes since our first one aired back last March with our chairman, Professor Arnie Hill. I smile when I think of inviting him to take part. He had never recorded a podcast before, but he quickly got into his stride, sharing his own career highlights and his delight in the opening of the new breast building at Beaumont Hospital. This opening was a highlight for everyone last year. Breast Cancer Ireland is privileged to be a significant donor to the centre as a result of your help and the help of so many over the years. The new 6 million facility is a one-stop location for over 10,000 women and indeed men annually. With 5 imaging suites, the latest imaging and ultrasound equipment, as well as 8 examination and consultation rooms and the latest clinical trial unit on the top floor, we can confidently say that this centre will offer bench-to-bedside care for patients into the future, where the latest developments in clinical trial will become part of the personalised treatment plans for those diagnosed.
Well, the design of it is imaging on the first floor, clinical exam on the second floor, and on the third floor, a clinical trials unit, all integrated, breast care nurses, administration, the whole thing in one journey. It's also a fantastic facility. We focused on luxury because I think I learned this actually way back in America, where I saw in Memorial Sloan Kettering, at the time, Evelyn Lauder came and actually just made the outpatient facilities beautiful. Mm-hmm. She just put in the best furniture, the best decor, and that's what we've done in Beaumont. Mm-hmm. We're 20 years behind, mm-hmm. but we've made a really nice facility. Because I think a woman who comes in with a lump on their breast, that journey shouldn't be in a cold clinical facility of a hospital, shouldn't terrify them. It should be like walking into our living room, mm-hmm. and it should be nice and a nice environment.
Many of you have told us that you found the episode with plastic surgeon Mr. Jamie Martin Smith very compelling. I recommend you have a listen if you're facing into this phase of your treatment. So too was the episode with consultant radiologist Dr. Deirdre Duke. It really brought home to me the power we have ourselves and how when we know our own bodies, we can spot changes that can be the difference in identifying the signs.
The most important thing is breast self-awareness. What we would say to every woman is that they should examine their own breasts once a month, not every day, not every week, just once a month after their period, because at that point, a lot of those hormonal changes have died down and they will notice the change. And if they get used to what's normal for them, they will be able to pick up a change. Mm-hmm.
The psychological impact of breast cancer diagnosis was a theme that came up several times throughout the past two seasons. And to be honest, one we will return to in season three. Mother of two from Carrigaline, County Cork, Madeline McCool, first discovered a lump on her right breast in the shower and was diagnosed with a grade 3 tumour 3 weeks later. She was joined in the third episode of season two by Amanda LeCain, a counsellor with Purple House, a community-based cancer support centre in Bray, County Wicklow, to talk about this topic.
The things then that helped me, so like Amanda said, like for me, some of the more difficult times were that mindset kind of piece and the worry about each stage of treatment or what effect is this going to have and the waiting around. So the waiting between my diagnosis and my surgery and my waiting to see if I need chemotherapy or not, and then the chemotherapy and what are the side effects going to be like, how bad it's going to be, or hormone treatment then, what effect is that going to have on me? And what I was most afraid of was the effects that were going to change my mood. Okay. So, you know, the physical ones are easier to deal with, I think. It was more what effect it was going to have on my mood. But I found with each stage, the worrying was nearly worse than when it actually happened, and it was fine generally. Yeah. So the things that definitely helped me were I had a great support network around. So obviously my immediate family, Adrian, my husband, was brilliant, and he would have taken the kids up to his family for kind of weekends. My mom would have come and stayed with me on kind of my slow weekend. So yeah. Kind of got to know my kind of pattern of when I was kind of going to be kind of slowest and sluggish after chemo. So that was brilliant. I had amazing friends and family. So I felt connection definitely helped and connecting. So I started a blog. Beautyandthecancerbeast.ie. And it was to kind of share my story. And it was really trying to... It was the hopes of trying to help somebody else in some way. So trying to give bits of information, any hints and tips that I learned along the way, just as I was muddling through it.
One of our great friends and longtime supporters, Paula McLean, also shared an honest reflection on the emotional scars that remain with her to this day, over 11 years later. But in a lovely recollection, she also shared a story of her daughter, Maggie, asking her to take off her wig and show all her friends at the school gate her bald head. Bald and proud, Paula.
Kids are extremely resilient. I don't think they noticed half the time, except with me. There was a couple of jokes. My daughter, one of the days outside school, you know, my middle daughter Maggie was telling her friends that her mum had no hair and thought that was just so cool. And then asked me outside the school to take my wig off and show all her friends. And I said, look, I'll do that later, you know. Yeah. So kids, they were incredible. And an interesting part of this story, because the kids have grown up and they know that I've been very involved in breast cancer and in breast cancer research, and they know that I've been fundraising, and so they see this part of it. But we were going to school a couple of years ago, and there was a sign for something, can't remember particularly what it was, and my eldest at the time, the car, would have been quite young still, the early teenager. She just said, Mum, I didn't actually know that people... can actually die from breast cancer. And so that was a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. And that was it was incredible. As you know, becoming if she's an older child now, becoming an older teenager, to actually want to understand it and to not have a fear around talking about it. And I think that's a very powerful thing for teenagers and up-and-coming young 20-year-olds, to actually understand their bodies and to be empowered and to be actually completely aware of not finding something, but of anything that is different or changes.
Paula's three little girls are now teenagers, and she is passionate about continued investment into breast cancer research. She wants to protect girls like her daughters, and indeed future generations of Irish women, to make sure they survive and thrive, despite what life throws at them. Thanks, Paula, for all that you do. In the past year, Breast Cancer Ireland has raised over 3.1 million, with 2 million going to support our ongoing research programmes into metastatic disease prevention, a new HER2 Plus clinical trial, and also support for our fellowship award into triple negative breast cancer being undertaken at Queen's University Belfast. These programmes, coupled with the continuing investment and expansion of our national biobank of patient profiles and samples, is helping us to change the dial positively on this disease into the future. Furthermore, our education and awareness programme has been going from strength to strength following our appointment of an additional dedicated outreach coordinator through the sponsorship from UPMC Hillman Centre to support our efforts of delivering the free breast health programmes across companies, community groups and sporting associations. Now with 6 coordinators covering all regions of Ireland, they have met with over 25,000 people in the past 12 months and we are seeing that awareness does definitely save lives. During the summer, with the threat of COVID in the rearview mirror, we hosted our first physical event, our Touch of Pink Summer Lunch, in the Intercontinental Hotel, where we got the opportunity to thank our many ambassadors, patient supporters, our donors, and others for their ongoing support. It was such a great day reconnecting with so many. Our firecracker ambassador, the wonderful Anne Ebel, joined us for that lunch, and we convinced her to come in to record a podcast. Anne was 48 years old when she was diagnosed with breast cancer for the first time in 2003. She joined us along with Carol Mallon, who was diagnosed in 2004, and Marion Egan, who is living with a metastatic diagnosis. Like all our episodes, our guests have dealt with their diagnosis differently. They have had different side effects and challenges associated with their treatment, but importantly, they have found ways to live their very best lives with their families and their friends, despite the trauma of what life has thrown at them. I enjoyed this episode very much, and it was heartening to hear how that initial investment by Breast Cancer Ireland in a paddle boat for the Plurabelle paddlers has helped so many to get out on the water and live their best lives. This year, with restrictions lifted and the environment more open to physical events, we hosted our first ever hybrid Great Pink Run event, where we held a physical event in Leopardstown in Dublin on October the 9th, and then in Kilkenny Castle Park on October 16th. Participants could attend either of these, or for those unable to attend in person, they could opt to do their 5K or 10K distance within their own local community. Over 8,000 men, women and children took part running, jogging, walking as part of our Pink Tribe across the week and raised over €575,000 for breast cancer research. Denise Ash joined us along with nutritionist Orla Walsh to talk about how best to prepare.
So I'd encourage people to pull back on the fibre, especially in the morning before the run. So often people would be like, I had a bowl of muesli and added extra nuts and seeds and loads of fruits. And you're guaranteed to have the scuthers if you do that. So what I'd encourage people to do is pull back on the nuts and seeds, pull back on the fruit and veg in the morning of the run. Keep it plain, keep it simple. And, you know, quick release carbohydrates. In other words, processed carbohydrates are probably the best thing to have that morning. Okay. So hydration and carbohydrates. Focus on those two things and you're going to not only run well, but when we run well, we enjoy it a little bit more. Yeah. So that's important. So if someone is walking it or running it and if it's 5 or 10K, it doesn't matter. We all want to enjoy it as much as possible. Definitely. And we do that if we're well hydrated and we've eaten enough carbohydrate.
I know I haven't covered all 20 episodes, but hopefully this gives you a good flavour. It was such a great experience for me to host this series with so many interesting guests. However, I can't close out this recap without a clip from my favourite episode, the one where we focus on the future, the impacts and the advancements being made. Consistent and intensive breast cancer research is vital in changing the landscape of this disease and the reason I continue to do what I do. Professor Leonie Young, Scientific Director, Beaumont RCSI Cancer Centre and Chair of the conference, updated from there, and I have to say, I went away filled with hope for the future. I will close with her words and wish all of our More Than a Lump listeners a very happy new year. Thank you for listening.
On a personal note, I would just like to say huge thanks to Breast Cancer Ireland, because I know that our lab wouldn't exist without you guys. And also, we wouldn't understand the patients as well as we do without your lovely breast cancer ambassadors, without your understanding. And I really, I think that we've had a great journey together over such a long time.
And it's very true. I mean, the amount of people who initially I was a bit nervous to bring sort of, if I call them lay people, into a research environment like a lab and have somebody walk them through, you know, what you do on a daily basis, because I kind of thought that might be just over my head, let alone their heads. But it actually proved to be the complete opposite. They were fascinated by how you showed them under microscope, etc., various different, you know, research that you're working on, and your lab team were so accommodating. And I remember one guy saying to a family that we brought through, you know, it's amazing. Now I can put a face to the name, to the cell that I'm looking underneath the microscope at, that I know this is ultimately going to help your, yeah, you know, person in your family or whatever. And I think that's really powerful.
Oh, 110%. The communication goes both ways. And I think the passion and the interest goes both ways. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you.
The information in this podcast is based on the personal stories of those we have chatted to. If you are concerned in any way, please contact your GP immediately, or you can contact us at breastcancerireland.com.